This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, Now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV.
It's Now with Dave Brown, live at the Canadian Museum for Human Rights in Winnipeg. Earlier this week, as I was chatting with a whole bunch of folks, Derek Lackey stopped by. He's our community reporter from here in Winnipeg, and we talked about his experience with a guide dog training for the first time in his life. Once again, this interview took place in a different location, off in that room downstairs with the large wooden structure, the circular wooden structure behind us. Let's roll that tape. Hey, Derek, thank you for coming in and making your way to the museum for us today. We appreciate it.
Oh, thank you very much, Dave. I love being here, and being able to do these in person is really special.
Yeah, you and I haven't seen each other in person in years, so yeah. It's lovely. You know, we talk once a month, but we haven't seen each other in years, so it's super cool to hang out en person.
Yeah,
so, sure. So, Derek, today we're talking about you getting your first guide dog.
Yeah.
So before we talk about the process, I want to know what went through your mind. What led you to the decision to eventually get a guide dog?
You know, there's a lot of things that I thought about over the years, and I was always really kind of my own worst critic, as we all are, and I really wanted to be perfect with my caning. And, you know, as my son was getting older and he was getting into more trouble, you know, wanting to get out there and do things, I felt like being a little bit more of a third wheel sometimes, and then it was just a harder process sometimes going to places and going to parks and knowing that he's going to be starting school and he's going to have that independence again, you know, really soon was hard. So I really felt like, okay, you know, maybe there's more that I can talk to my friends about in the, you know, guide dog community to find out, you know, like what their thoughts are on it. And, you know, I talked to a few friends and realized that there's a lot that potentially a guide dog could really help me with, not only taking my confidence and my independence to a whole new level on its own when it comes to mobility and traveling around, but, you know, with him and being in the family and how he could help me, you know, whether it's at a playground or at a school and being able to have those extra set of eyes to take care of him when I'm taking him to school is really comforting for me and for my wife. So
you made the decision and you went through the process and you got accepted. And a couple of weeks ago, you went to Ottawa, to Canada. What does that process look like? How does that work for someone as they're being paired and beginning their training?
You know what? Talking to a lot of the trainers, there's a lot of different levels that go into matching an individual with a dog, because they'd have to look at personalities, home life, environment, you know, things that you like, things that you don't like, you know, what kind of speeds you're looking for, you know, your overall height, you know, the demands of your environment. Like myself, I live on a street with no sidewalks, so being able to shoreline. There's so many different levels that I wouldn't be able to speak on all of what they do, but there's a lot more that goes into the involvement of matching a guide dog with his handler than most people realize, just in general. And right now, especially since the pandemic, there's been such an influx of applications to these guide dog schools that I feel very fortunate and very lucky to have been matched when I was, even though I kind of put in at January of 2020, right before the pandemic. And it took a while to finally get a home visit and stuff, but you got to realize they're working on their safety for their handlers and for these dogs. And they're only working with what limited supply of dogs they have in their kennel. So like I say, I feel very, very fortunate to have been paired.
So it's only a couple of weeks, and I say only a couple of weeks, that you spend in Ottawa doing some of that training through some of the match-in process. Mm-hmm. So the whole itinerary might keep us here all hours. So let's not do the whole itinerary, but walk me through your experience. How was that experience in Ottawa?
You know what? The experience in Ottawa was fantastic. You know, from the very beginning, everything being arranged flight-wise and everything from Winnipeg to Ottawa was absolutely fantastic. The CNIB Guide Dog School took care of every single step from getting assistance to, you know, plane tickets, all of it. I didn't have to think about a thing, just pack my stuff and go. They were absolutely wonderful. Getting there and, you know, starting, you know, they picked me up from the airport and, you know, got me around. They knew I was diabetic, so we had already taken care of some stuff, you know, making sure I had some emergency things on hand, which was fantastic. Any dietary issues also when it comes to food they had handled. And then, you know, it was kind of a tornado from beginning to end. You landed, and next thing you know, we're sitting there at our graduation dinner, sitting there going like, holy cow, we're all leaving tomorrow. Like, this was absolutely insane. But, you know, we got in and, you know, your first day, you get a little orientation at the hotel, and it's like the next day, it's like fun begins, you know, goodie bags, and all of a sudden dogs. And once the dogs are there, harnesses go on, and that's it. You start going, and it's out for walks, in and back, out for walks, in and back. And it's just, it's a tornado of information and walking, and there's so many things that go into it that you just think, oh, you know, I'm going to go out, I'm going to get matched with a dog, and we're going to go and walk. And it's like, there's so much you have to think about at the end of the day. I mean, the two of us were just crashed out every day. It was it was absolutely amazing the amount of mental stress that you go through.
How is the bonding with Terry going? I mean, he's at our feet right now. He brought you in here to the museum today. How's the bonding going?
The bonding is fantastic. I mean, he's a great dog. You start finding out their little quirks and the little things they like to do very early. I know some of the other dogs would pick up their bowl and trot around after they finished dinner, and they were holding it up like praise, like, look what I did. You know, Terry's been really, really affectionate. He, you know, I found out early he's a mouther, so when he's really excited, he likes to kind of put your arm in his mouth or your fingers. He likes to nibble on an ear. So, you know, being able to do that at home and now to bring that bonding home with my wife and my son, for him to have some fun and kind of get the experience with my son, my wife, and then even our dog, Lilu, we have at home, our boxer. You know, he's so affectionate. It's been a really interesting experience, but it's so much fun bonding with a dog.
And how's the adjustment for him spending time in Winnipeg? I mean, it's how's that guiding process going and the ongoing training that exists in the day-to-day O&M?
You know what? He's doing really well. The environment and where I need him to kind of go, it's not exactly a very easy one to kind of start his process. The path that I use is, it's not very well identified, so it makes it hard to find, but he's doing exceptionally well. I feel like he's doing really good. We've done lots of nice long walks, and he's very responsive. He's learning what he can get away with and what he can't, which is good, and that's part of the initial bonding, right, is he's got that testing phase. But, you know, just kind of being at the point where I'm at right now with him, it's interesting to think that, you know, like, it really takes a good solid 6 to 9 months to really kind of get that bond. Where he knows me and I know him, that, you know, and I've heard that a lot throughout the community, and they say, you know, like, if you're feeling that way now, just think, you know, 6 to 9 months, where are you going to be? And, you know, I know, unfortunately for Mr. Terror Bear here, that means our winters, which, you know, he may or may not be ready for, but, you know, it'll be interesting, and that first real winter is really going to test him, but it'll be good that we've had that spring and summer and fall time to really create that bond. And I know everybody's been saying, like, that is the time to go, and if you can get a chance to, definitely, you know, go for that springtime, because you get a good amount of time to really connect with him before we have that terrible winter that happens here in the prairies. So,
well, I don't know. I'm kind of experiencing your terrible, terrible summer right now, and it was like 45 degrees with humidity the other day. So I don't know, man. I think yeah, you're running the gambit on both directions here.
Yeah.
Derek, I want to backtrack to something you mentioned. I didn't actually know that you had a family dog. You also had a family dog, and now you're bringing a guide dog into the mix.
Yeah.
How's that relationship going, and what's that been like for you and the family?
You know what, it's interesting, because it was a concern my wife and I had early, because our 7.5-year-old boxer at home, she is a very dominant dog. So it was something that I expressed to the school, and they knew I'd had a dog at home, and they've met her. She's very affectionate, but she can show dominance to other dogs. So it was something that they did have to take into consideration when it comes to your bonding or your even matching with a dog, right, is they have to be well associated with other animals and stuff. So we definitely took our time bringing him into the house. Their first interactions were just outside on the street, walking around the block. We eventually kind of caught it inside, gave them a little more closely monitored, kind of nose to nose, but we have gates in our house, obviously, to, you know, protect our son and the stairs and stuff. And that was kind of their initial in the houses, kind of bonding chance there. And then, you know, when we had our third week of training, because you do 2 weeks away and 1 week at home, I had instructors come in after the long weekend, and you know, when they got in, we let them kind of view their body postures in our backyard, because again, we have our backyard is kind of separated in two halves. They could kind of see how the two of them were kind of interacting with each other, and they thought everything looked really well. So we brought them out into the yard and let them kind of sniff each other. And then when I released him off his leash and I told him to go and have a blast, the two of them just took off, and it was just so you know, weight relieving and stress relieving for Amanda and I to sit there and watch, you know, the two of them go, and we sit there and see, like, okay, this is going to work. Like, there's not going to be that problem or tension between them that we're constantly going to have to worry about. And they took off and they just had a blast, and they ran, and he wore her out pretty quick, and she was panting because last winter was pretty bad here. So she put on a few extra pounds. So he's helping her lose weight and keeping her young, and she's helping to show him the ropes and what he's allowed to do and what he's not to. So it's been fantastic. It's been great. And you know, we even took the same steps with my mother-in-law's boxer as well. So he's got lots of friends here. He's had a friend visit. Ryan Hui from CNIB was in from Windsor last week, and he came over for a play with Guide Dog Joe. So he's already had a friend over from the Guide Dog community to have a play, and he's got many more friends to meet soon. So
that's great. Yeah, friend of the network, Ryan Hui. He's always doing something. That chatty bookshelf, always up to something. Yeah. Including Kelly and Company on Friday afternoons. Derek, we're just wrapping up here, but just as a concluding thought, and you referenced it a little bit before, but what's the big takeaway or the big message you might want to share with somebody who's maybe going through what you were going through in that decision phase of whether it was time to get a guide dog? What's the message you'd want to share with people?
The big message I always share with a lot of people, and I mean, a lot of people told it to me, is they sit there and say, just the independence and the confidence you'll have is phenomenal. And the backup I would put on that is they need to know, though, there is a lot of work that goes into it, and you don't realize it until you have one, and then you get home and you start working. You know, they are phenomenal. They are fantastic for confidence, independence. I can't wait to see where I'm at, but there's a lot of work you got to put into it. There's a lot of training, a lot of commands. It's a very stressful time when you're doing it, but like everyone says, the payoff in the end, it's no different than learning O&M with a cane. The payoff in the end will be there, and it's worth every bit of effort to it.
Derek, thanks for this, man. It's been too long since we got to hang out. Really great to spend some time in person.
Oh, I'm glad we could do this again. I always enjoy these.
That's Derek Lackey. He's a community reporter in Winnipeg, Manitoba. Remember, you can always find out more about the stories we cover on the show by visiting the blog ami.ca/nowblog.
You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.